Hey, Peter, you know, recently we were at the Boston Public Library, the WGBH studio at the Boston Public Library, down there at the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
I do know that place, and we had a lovely chit-chat with a guy who has come up with, I'm going to say, one of the best collection of running routes in certainly the Boston area and surrounding metro Boston area of Massachusetts.
Peter, his website covers cities all around the world.
And he has the physical books for New England.
That's right. You are going to want to check this out. Mark Lowenstein talks about the great running routes, really, of the world, in all cities of the world. And it's a resource that I think, as runners, we don't realize doesn't exist. We kind of think that you can go on to some of these map things or different areas, but you don't get the kind of advice you need to know if this, especially if you're not a very experienced runner. I think you want to know a little more information, and Mark's website and books really provide it.
They really do, to a degree that I was unprepared for. The amount of detail and the selection that he has put together, if you're even kind of interested in new places to run, or go for a walk for that matter, or bike ride, he really does show you all the best places, and it can really change your travel plans. You can now say, well, I know I'm going to St. Louis, and you can figure out the 5 or 10 best runs that you can go on from your hotel.
Funny that you speak about travel plans, Peter. You know, it is summer, and people go on vacation.
All the time.
For multiple weeks, and sometimes the entire summer, people go on vacation.
Yeah.
Are there going to be any more shows this summer, Peter, for How Was Your Run Today?
No. If you're listening to this right now, I don't mean to freak you out, but this is episode 140, and we're taking a break right after this interview. But stick around.
I'm listening.
Don't you move, Ryan.
I won't.
Because I know you're going away, and I know I'm going away, and I know we're going to come back with all new shows in September. But stick around to the other side of this interview, and we have a special announcement about how all you listeners are going to be spending the rest of your summer.
Is it the summer rewinds?
No, it's not. It's not that.
It's something completely different?
It is exactly that. Something completely different. Stand by. But first, everybody, Mark Lowenstein. Mark, we're just thumbing through some of your guides that you've just been so nice to hand out. Hold on. What is the total number of these that you have so far?
So we have 3 books, which we did for Boston, okay. Brookline, Boston, and then the Burbs. And then we have the website where
yes.
we have, it's called greatruns.com, and we have at least 300 major cities and destinations on the web.
Yeah. All right. Let's go way, way back. What's your history as a runner? How did you get into it?
So I started running in my early 20s, and so for 30 plus years, I've just been running probably 5-6 times a week on average. Lucky.
Oh, that's all.
Injury free.
That's all.
And I'm your typical everyday runner. You know, 4 or 5 miles a day.
Yeah.
Early morning, evening, or whenever you can get it in.
Whenever I can fit it in. This time of year, I actually really love running in the evenings. It's mm-hmm. my favorite
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And I travel a lot for work, and I also determined that that's sort of like the one thing you can most easily do when you're traveling. All you mm-hmm. need is a pair of sneakers and 45 minutes and
that's right.
you can just go.
Anywhere.
And then, you know, that was sort of the whole genesis of this project, which was traveling to all these different cities, and, you know, you'd arrive at a hotel and it was a complete crapshoot in terms of, you know, getting the right, you ask the person at the front desk, oh, is there a good place to go for a run around here? And sometimes they'd be well organized, they'd give you a nice little map and all of that. And other times you'd get a blank stare, or they'd say, well, you know, you run around the parking lot 8 times, you know, that makes a mile.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it. I remember that one at the Newark Hilton at the airport.
Sure.
So it sort of led to this. And then the other thing is I do other activities. I bike and hike. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there are guides for all of these other activities, even like best fly fishing
right.
holes in
course,
Maine.
Of course. Yeah.
And, but there's nothing for
best
running.
Best kayaking.
Right. And there are no guides at all, really, for running. No curation. I mean, you can go to Map My Run or one
That's
of the
right.
apps, and you
Find
can enter an address.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no sense of sort of curation and somebody's telling you what are the best.
I've had that exact thing happen. I've gone to a city and done that. Go to Map My Run or even look on Strava, and you can see routes that people do,
certainly,
but
yes.
you don't know. anything more about it, and you don't know really if it's scenic or if it's just convenient for people to be running that.
Yeah, and like 80% of them are from somebody's house.
Right, that's not helpful.
That's yeah. Right. So, and that's actually one of the biggest challenges for us in terms of, you know, where do you actually start a route?
Right.
And so we try to be sort of centrally located, and we try to provide information about, you know, here's how you get to this route. And you can actually use maps quite nicely. So if you have a starting point of, let's call it Kenmore Square, you know, how do you get there, you
right.
know, a mile of or course. Something like that.
Well, yeah. And you were saying that you really look at giving advice, too, about where to stay in a city. You were saying specifically in Manhattan, there's obviously some parts, places where there are great runs and some where, yeah, you can run up and down the street, but it's not that interesting. So what kind of advice do you give, you know, for New York City or for other cities?
Yeah, so for each of our cities, you know, we have routes, obviously, and we have sort of other information about each city, a bit of a description of the city and events and that sort of thing. But we also have a where to stay section, and we don't provide specific hotel recommendations, but we will say
areas.
Like, for example, if you want to go to Boston and you want to run the Charles River Paths, you don't want to stay at, you know, the Marriott in Woburn, right? You want to stay
right.
in, you know, Back Bay or Cambridge, you know, if you can afford to.
Yeah. But maybe the Charles Hotel is where you want to be.
Exactly.
But you don't want to be 20 miles
right.
away from
so
your
route. We try to tell people, you know, here's where you would stay within a mile or two of some of the best routes, more areas and neighborhoods. And that's really helpful. It's really, and now that I know a lot of different cities, like, so for example, if I know I travel to Washington quite a bit, and I know, you know, here's the area to stay so I can be within a mile of the National Mall, which is, you know, one of the great runs in the country.
Of course,
sure, of course.
And, you know, and that sort of same thing like with Chicago, to be near the lakefront, because you can end up in Chicago in these vast nameless suburbs and, you know, right. staring out your window, it's like, where am I going to go running here?
Right.
Well,
right.
And the other thing is that if you don't know the city, you don't know how long it's actually going to take you to get 6 miles to where the running
right.
route starts. Because in some cities, it, you know, 6 miles takes maybe 10 minutes. In other cities, it's going to take you 2 hours.
Like Boston.
Like Boston.
That's right?
Right. So that's really helpful to know how close do I need to be to these running routes to take advantage of them.
Yeah. That's one of the things we've realized in the sort of research process for this is how actually for a runner, game-changing good transport can be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, so for example, I was just in London last week, and the fact that you can do a one-way route just pretty much anywhere in London and then be within two blocks of an underground, the metro station, and get back to where you are in, you know, 15 minutes. And it's very, very helpful to just, when there's good public transport to enable one-way routes, or just so if you can end up somewhere and get back, and that's a nice
We're
factor.
Not amazing for that.
Are you saying Europeans are better at trains than
no,
we
I'm
are?
No, I'm just saying Boston has very good
I think so.
Public transit, but I think for what, I haven't looked through this yet, but do you offer that here, or no? Is it really out and backs, or is it
a little bit? We've done a few what we call one way and T back. One of the ones we did for the Boston Guide was the Southwest Corridor path,
okay.
so you can run one way and
there
you end
you
up right at Forest Hill Station
there you
and
go.
Come back. Because not everybody. That's the other thing is like people, you know, out and backs can be boring. This way you can do a longer one way and end up coming back.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And
yeah,
so that's
pretty
sort
good.
Of a fun thing.
So do you have an ideal runner or a specific audience sort of avatar that you think about when you're writing these routes? Is it someone who is a daily runner, or is it based on scenery? Because the routes are all over the place in terms of distance. You have some that are even under 3 miles and some that are as much as 12 or more. How do you make those determinations?
Well, we're really targeting people who love to run when they travel. The millions of people who, you know, run when they travel and are looking to discover good routes. We try to offer routes of different lengths. And I'd say an average one is 4 or 5 miles. But for many of our routes, we'll say, well, here's a 3 mile option, here's a 5 mile option. Or even if we provide a specific, you know, route of, let's say, 5 miles, we'll say, well, here's some add-ons. You know, the area around here has got some nice streets and that sort of thing. So we try to provide options for different runners. And we are, since we're focused on the best runs in the major cities, usually it's between 10 and 15 major routes in each city, we're trying to find the most interesting, the most scenic, the most iconic. In fact, we actually have for each of our cities, we'll have a button that says, so we have the overall city homepage and it has, you know, the 15 or so routes underneath, but then we have a little button that says iconic, which is sort of modeled after travel guides. We say, okay, well, if you're going to Berlin and you only have 24 hours, see this. If you have 36 hours,
oh,
see
nice.
That.
I love
and
it.
So we'll say, well, if you're only going to be You know, if you want to go to the city and do the, like, if you're advising somebody coming to Boston, we say, okay, where should I go running in Boston? We always say, okay, you got to run on the Charles River paths, maybe do part of the Emerald Necklace, maybe the waterfront. And, you know, if you've done those three in Boston, you've seen...
You've seen a lot.
You know, there's great other places, but those are the, you know, those are the best of Boston, right, for running. And we try to do the same thing for those cities with that sort of iconic button.
What has been, it's tough, it would be impossible for you to say what's your favorite city, but what's the most far-flung or unexpected city that you've added to the website?
Ah, that's a great question. Well, one of the things that I've discovered in the process of putting this whole guide together is that there's a running culture now in just about every city in the world, cities that even 5 or 10 years ago didn't. And I'll give you an example of a city we just completed, Cairo.
Okay.
Cairo, you know, unbelievably dense.
Yes.
Hard to get populated,
around. By
hard
car.
To get around. The air is awful.
Yep.
Yet there's a running culture there. There's a group called Cairo Runners, which is sort of the one major running. And they have this one weekly run that they do. Thousands of people show up.
Really?
It's not just like the run club that, you know, that marathon
the
sports across,
do,
you know, 15, 20 people show. Thousands of people show up for this run in Cairo.
Wow.
And so we're.
How often does this happen?
I think once a week or something like that.
That's awesome.
And part of it is there's actually very few places where you can actually run in Cairo. So the people sort of migrate to the few places that are sort of runnable, and they need and just the fact and it's also a little bit harder in Cairo as a woman to just go running, especially alone.
Absolutely.
And even guys, people have historically been sort of heckled for running. It's because it's a new thing. It's not a running culture, but we're really finding in just about every major city worldwide that there's a running culture. There are running groups. There are expat groups, and many of them have been helpful to us in the research process. So that's been sort of a really cool discovery in this whole thing.
What's the worst place to run? Do you have any?
I have my list.
I don't want to say
worst.
I want to say most challenging.
I have my list of cities that are sort of the worst cities for running, and then run. I also have this other list of cities that should be better.
Good.
So, I want to hear both of these.
So the
I have my
I'd
own
say some
opinions.
Of the worst cities for running. Well, some in Asia are just tough because they're so dense and they're so So for example, you know, Cairo's tough, Jakarta's tough, Beijing is difficult just because of the air. Mumbai is actually has a good running culture in Mumbai, but you there's some of these cities you can't just go. Even if it's not beautiful, you can't just go walking out your door and say, I'm going to just go running along the sidewalk here. In Mumbai, you know, you can't just walk, run on the sidewalk. There's many people and other things going on. So they actually have these running parks in Mumbai where you go and you pay somebody, you know, literally you give an attendant like the equivalent of a dime.
Yeah.
And they have like a little 1 kilometer track that goes around the park
and you
that
can
sort
go
of
do
thing.
That.
That's where you go. And so some of the Asian cities are challenging. I'd say like in among cities that would... You know, in developed economies and so on. Las Vegas,
tough.
Right inside the center of Las Vegas is awful. Like running along the Strip is really tough. In part because you can't run seamlessly. There's part. I don't know if you have you ever been to Las Vegas?
I've not. You've been?
Not for many years.
Yeah.
So if you want to go running along the Strip, there are some sections where they don't literally let you cross the street. You have to go up an escalator and through a mall/casino to then get over. So that's
and you have to bet at least $20.
Well, yeah.
Right. So that's obviously not conducive to the Strava crowd that is looking to do PRs and
I bet
that
people
sort of
do
thing.
It,
that map would be weird. I have to say. Although the one time I was in Las Vegas, we left almost immediately and went out to the mountains and the running out there can be absolutely gorgeous.
Yes,
really fantastic.
Once you get outside of
Past
Las Vegas,
it,
it's great. But if you know desert running and that sort of thing, but yeah, right inside the city, it's really not great. And then there are other cities that you know you think okay, there should be better places. Dallas is an example. You know, really not great.
That should be better.
Hugely sprawly, and there's one nice trail downtown called the Katy Trail, but it's just the car is king in Dallas, and it's very apparent from the lack of just the. You know, part of what you have in Boston, which is great, and some other, you know, northeast cities, is that sort of pedestrian-type scale, which means not only are there nice paths and so on, but even just running on sidewalks and so on. Orlando is another one of my least favorite cities, and it's funny because we have good data on, you know, traffic to the website, and we see, you know, what are our most visited cities on the site and which ones are people researching.
And it's
Las Vegas and Orlando.
Huge for conventions.
Because they're huge for conventions, hugely visited cities.
Yeah.
But Orlando's brutal. I mean, downtown's no great shakes. And then, you know, for all the people going to Disney, all the roads around Disney, most of them don't even have sidewalks.
Well, I was going to say, so many of our American cities don't have, they're not made for even walking.
Yeah, pedestrians are out of luck. That's right.
I was in D.C. recently, which is a fine running city.
Yeah.
And we were trying to walk just from the airport to our hotel, which was under a mile.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had that situation where, we had to walk through a parking lot of a car rental agency, and then we found ourselves, you know, almost straddling that steel barrier next to a five-lane road that came out of nowhere.
Not interesting.
And no way to cross safely, and you get stuck in these situations. And if you're running, it happens more often than you want.
It's interesting because Orlando being such a challenge, but then if you were to go to Miami or on the other side, Tampa, you have a better shot maybe
Tampa's really good actually. Tampa's got some beautiful running. Miami's good if you can get to sort of the beach and that
beach
sort of thing,
side,
but like the inner, like downtown part of Miami is not very good.
Yeah,
very congested. But you know, over to Biscayne Bay and that beautiful bridge, I forget the name of it, Knickerbocker, something like that.
I was recently in Tulsa and I asked the day attendant of the day manager, good spot to run it, because I saw on the map the Arkansas River, and this is literally what they said. Yeah, I guess that would work. And I was like, but I mean, do people do that? She said, I honestly don't know. I've never been asked the question.
Yeah.
So this is like a major hotel.
Right. It is funny.
So I did. I hopped over there, and yeah, it was really good actually, because it was a promenade essentially. You know, so there were a lot of pedestrians, not a ton of runners because it was hot. I mean, that's the problem, right? You know, if it's too hot, if it's the wrong season.
Yeah, well, in certain cities, if the weather's tough. But, and that's in our methodology in terms of just trying to find, you know, good routes in cities is, we always look for bike paths. We always look for water.
Yeah.
Usually in good
ice
cities,
cream stops.
There's
do you have that?
Yeah.
Do you have restrooms in there available?
Oh yeah. That's
sometimes
water
we comment
fountains?
On that. We'll say there are restrooms along here, water along here. Yeah. We'll try to comment on those.
Okay. Here's the big question.
Yeah.
And you've probably gotten this a million times, so I apologize. Have you gone on every single one of these runs?
All the ones in the Boston guides, yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Wow, that's excellent.
We have about, 200 some odd routes plus in the Boston guides. But in the other cities, no.
That's okay.
But many of them, but certainly not, particularly as we're doing more and more cities now and new cities, and we're also now expanding beyond just cities, but we're doing what I would call vacation destinations. We're basically focused on places where lots of people travel to.
Sure.
So we did, the Jersey Shore, we did the Hamptons, we did, Rehoboth Beach, we did North Conway, all the places where people travel to. So we have a section of the site called Destinations, which is travel destinations. Even ski resorts that are great in the summer, like, Vail and Whistler and places like that, and we do some trail running, but not, I would say this is for the entry level trail runner, the average runner who might like to do a trail, but for those who are like serious trail runners, the folks who use like the REI app and all that, that's not really, they won't really find our stuff there.
Well, all 17 of those people know each other, so it's fine.
they all just trade information, it's fine. So your fan base, do they write to you and say, I've done it, I've finished all your runs, give me more? Like, have you had anybody write to you and say,
at this point, they have so many. How many cities did you say?
We have about 300.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's done that.
I'm telling you right now, someone's trying to do it.
Well, actually, we have this sort of idea to do that sort of contest.
That'd be great.
How many cities can you do? How many routes can you do? Yeah. And so that's something I've wanted to do for a long time. I do get lots of emails from folks about particular routes or
that they
I'm traveling to XYZ city, are a couple of good routes, or random questions. I got one this week about a particular path. Say, is it a paved path or a dirt path?
So Mark, you're curating this website, you're answering questions about the what the paths are comprised of, whether they're dirt or gravel, but this is not your full-time job. This is This is a labor of love.
I would love it to be my full-time job.
Well, let's talk about that. Sometimes for people, just running winds up becoming like an enormous part of their life that takes over time and energy that they didn't expect, but they do it anyway.
Yeah.
How are you doing everything and curating this website? It's amazing. Do you sleep?
My wife will say not that much. It's a lot of early mornings. I sort of have a set, sort of like 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. swath of time, yeah. Many mornings, evenings, weekends, particularly during those times of year where the Boston weather's not so great. So this time of year, not as many weekends. It's mm-hmm. so nice outside. You want to be outside and doing things. And it's self-funded. So mm-hmm. we've hired freelancers and we built the website and all yep. that. And so far, it's just a self-funded project. And you know, we think that there might be monetization sometime down the line. That's sort of the overall approach was build a great library of content and yeah. build an audience. We're now starting to see some pretty nice traffic on the site.
Yeah.
And you know, we hope that over time other things flow mm-hmm. from that. And I imagine it's like a lot of other people who do this, you know, who might try to, you know, write a book or, you know, who are painters or
do a podcast.
Let's
say.
Exactly right.
Let's just say.
Well, that's incredibly lucrative, Peter.
Well, I mean, we were able to quit our full-time jobs and all our families could stop working too.
That's great.
It's so great.
Tell me how that's done.
Yeah, well. give up all your possessions.
He's lying.
Don't buy anything ever.
Wow. So, Mark, you're telling me that the website is free?
Right now, the website is free, yes.
Wow.
Okay. You can get all of this information for 300 cities for free?
That's amazing. Greatruns.com.
That's crazy. Now, where can people find the guides? At the site?
The books, you can buy them off the site, and they're available locally, the mm-hmm. Boston running books, in the running stores and local bookstores.
That's exciting. All right, now what's the full-time job? What's the day job?
Full-time job is I'm a consultant in the telecom industry. So that's
that explains the travel.
Yeah, it's afforded me to travel.
Is that a lot of meetings or more like conventions and stuff like that?
Conventions, meetings, you know, clients. I do a lot of strategy work for mm-hmm. companies who, and mainly in the mobile space, who make the phones, offer services, build the networks. Zero related to do with the running thing. But
yeah, except it brings you a different city every week, exactly. Probably, right?
Yeah,
or a couple of different cities.
Yeah. And I've definitely got lists of favorite cities and those sorts of things for running. And that
now, you mentioned that you do an average 3 to 5 miles, that's your sort of wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But are you a racer at all? Do you do marathons of any sort?
I've done a couple of marathons. I never qualified for Boston. I did
no
Boston.
One here at this table
I'll tell
has.
You a secret. That I did Boston a couple of times in the days where you could run as a bandit. You can't mm-hmm. do that anymore.
No, long gone.
But I did do that a couple of times. But I have run a couple of other marathons. I do have since I know you guys do have a lot, you interview, there are a few people you're interviewing who do streaks and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I do have a streak you might find interesting.
Absolutely.
But it's not a running streak.
Okay.
But it is a fitness streak. So I've had this objective to just sort of do something cardio every day.
Okay.
So it's either running or sort of, I have minimums. It's got to be a minimum 45-minute run.
Whoa.
Or a bike ride
equal
20
time?
Miles or more.
Okay.
Or, like a spin class at the gym or something major cardio.
Big so, heart rate, big
yeah,
heart rate. Okay.
Yeah. So just hit 4 years of doing that.
Every
Whoa!
Day?
Yeah,
Seven days a week?
Every day for 4 years.
Astounding.
So that's the sort of fitness streak.
That's pretty
streak.
Impressive.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Good. Good.
Can you imagine?
I mix it up enough. So, and I've also been very lucky to have not gotten injured or not really been sick.
Do you find time to eat and or take a shower ever?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Every day.
I don't
know how.
No, you're in great shape now. How old are you, may I ask?
54.
God, you look young. This running thing really keeps people
young. Okay, so
this
was a 50 thing. You turned 50 and you said, I'm going to do major cardio. I'm guessing. I'm putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, it sort of started when I was 50, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know it was happening or did you just have a succession of days where you're like, oh, I guess I had
a succession of days and I started aimed for 100 and then got to 100 and then said, oh, I can sort of
keep going.
And so I just sort of kept going.
Has there been a day... So you said you haven't been sick much, but has there been a day because of travel or something where it's been close to like?
Yeah,
you
no,
almost
there have
didn't
been a couple
it.
Of like little adventures. The most humorous one was there was a day where I was coming back from San Francisco, which, as you know, flying back from the West Coast is a day killer, right?
Right.
Yep. So it was like a 6 a.m. deliberately planned a 6 a.m. flight.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't do something before the flight because it was like a 4 a.m. wake
and
up.
And then you
just
get home,
get
the day's
airport.
Over.
So I thought, okay, I'll get home at around 6. And,
yeah.
And this is the night before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And I thought, all right, get home at 6, I'll be able to do something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Flight was delayed. So I get home at like 9:30
mm-hmm.
or 10. And The gym is closed. It's dark out, and there actually had been an ice storm that, so I couldn't do anything outside.
Okay.
And we don't have any like gym equipment really in or anything in our home. So
wait, you're doing this all without a treadmill or even an exercise bike in your house?
Right. So literally, for 45 minutes, and my wife has video of it, but you're not allowed to see it.
Yeah.
Up and down the stairs for 45 minutes.
If we pay for the website, do we get to see it?
Yeah, you your first paywall.
Yeah, you gotta do a paywall thing on the site.
So there have been a few little adventures like that where we've had to do something sort of innovative to sort of squeeze it in before midnight, but that's been sort of a fun part of the streak.
I'm going to call this out. That actually outdoes, I'm going to say, our friend Emily Saul, who does her 100, 125 push-ups
a day.
There's lots of, she posts lots of social media of airport push-ups, because she also travels for work.
So there's airport push-ups.
And apparently there's
hard floors.
There's even been airplane push-ups in the aisle. I've heard about this. I haven't seen any photo evidence.
How do you spread? But there's not enough place to spread your
weight. You got to go to the back. It's a lot of galley.
A lot of triceps. It's very tight. But up and down the stairs for 45 minutes in your own home, that's a level of commitment.
Okay, I'm going to admit
that
to something.
I cannot do.
I'm going to admit to something that Brian does not know. And this is low ball compared to what you're talking about. But there are days when I wear my Fitbit, and I don't wear it religiously. I wear it when I feel like it, mostly as a watch.
Yeah.
But there'll be days when I've walked to and from work, walked around work, whatever, and I've been at almost 10 miles. And I'll turn the lights out, I'm going to bed, I'll look at it before going to bed and realize it's 9.8, and I'm just going to do that U around the bed. I'm just going to go boom, 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 boom.
Oh, there are people who do
boom,
that, particularly for this 10,000 steps thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to bed without hitting 10.
You're not going outside.
But it can't be 6 to 7. It has to be the 10 or whatever the next big one, double digit, I'm close to. And I've absolutely spent 15 minutes I can't go around my bed. I just go...
You've now convinced me to never buy a Fitbit.
Yeah, don't do
ever.
It. Well, you're a slave to it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with this 10,000 step thing, right?
They're doing a thing.
Right.
They're making it happen. So what's next? What's the next big thing?
Well, we're just going to continue to do more great content, more great cities. And we're now trying to even do major suburbs
of cities, like
Boston, North Shore, Boston, South Shore, major cities that have suburbs like Chicago suburbs and D.C. suburbs. But, more and more places that people run. We're also trying to cover, pretty much every major city in the world. The question is, in certain countries like the U.K. or in France or Italy, how many additional cities do? You do the top three or four? Mm-hmm. Do you start to go into some of these secondary cities? But more and more content. And then we have some other fun ideas around, and this is where maybe is where the monetization piece might come in, but we do have this idea to do a fun challenge, how many routes can you do, how many cities can you do, with a way for people to register as if it was a road race. Because one of the reasons why we did this also is because, there are a lot of people who love to do, road races and that sort of thing, but, runners tend to just be somewhat competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
We just wanted to create maybe a different type of challenge, in addition to a road race and that sort of thing. Like the same way, have you ever heard of the expression peak baggers?
I've never heard that.
So these are people who are hikers. Like they'll say, okay, well, there's a certain number of 4,000 foot peaks in New Hampshire, for example.
Okay, yeah.
And so peak bagging is how many different 4,000 foot peaks of those 4,000 foot peaks
can you
do?
Okay, no, my friend Michelle did
in
this
in New Hampshire.
And you get you prove that you've done them all. You get a photo, and you write about it in the AMC. Gives you a certificate at the end.
Right.
It's like a big deal. Yeah.
And there's rules. So there's all these 4,000 foot peaks in New Hampshire. But then let's just say the two mountains are close to another.
Yeah.
So you have to descend either 1,000 feet or something like that before doing the next one.
As opposed to just doing a ridge or something.
Sorry, you can't just go walk across the ridge and say, okay, I just did four in a day. You have to go down a certain amount and then back up. You don't have to go all the way down.
But you got to show the elevation change and you got to go back. Okay.
Right.
I've never heard of that. Right. That's crazy.
Yeah. And actually, last week when I was in the UK, I was in the Lakes District of the UK, and there are these set of mountains that were immortalized by Wainwright. So they're called the Wainwrights. There's 213 of these small peaks. And so I went on this hike, and there was somebody, I got 7 peaks in today, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Am I allowed?
Peak bagger. Love it.
Am I allowed to valley bag? because I think I'd be really good at just being the guy down low. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Do I get a badge? Do I get any? No.
Bring a sleeping bag and a hammock.
I would do that.
I'm sure if you realize for every activity there are different
the rules, the
badges of honor you can get for doing different things.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, Mark, you said that there are you have some cool lists that are associated with the site too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we certainly have our list of some of our favorite cities for running and some of our favorite routes. You know, so those are sorts of lists that you expect. So if you go to the website, you'll just see something called lists and compilations. But we also have everything from best beach runs to beautiful runs in fall. We have a list of the most romantic runs. We sort of move to the top of the list around Valentine's Day.
Nice, sweet.
Favorite running, winter running cities, and favorite winter runs. Beautiful, favorite sort of residential neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We even have something called Ode to Olmsted.
Okay.
You know, because Olmsted, who did the Emerald Necklace here,
is so
influential. And we think about him just for Central Park and the Emerald Necklace, but he designed entire neighborhoods. He designed university campuses like Stanford. So we actually have this list called Olmsted, which brings up every single route that we have in our guide that has some influence by Olmsted, and there's like 100 of them.
Yeah, right. I'm sold. I love that idea.
That's great.
We also did the national parks, all the major national parks, and we tried to do something that wasn't completely duplicative of hiking, but we figured, okay, you're traveling with your family to National Park this summer, but you still want to go for a run. So where can I actually go for a run in this national park? And so we have running guides for each of the major national parks. And that was sort of a fun process in researching that, because for one or two of them, we got cooperation from rangers and so on.
Okay.
They were usually quite helpful, but I think it was Yellowstone and one other that they basically said, we sort of discourage running in the park because of bears. And they said that it's just different than if you're walking. Apparently runners, you're running a little bit, you don't have the same sight lines, you sort of round a corner, you can startle wildlife in a way that you might not as much when you're walking. So they said, well, you know what? We're not saying you can't run in this park. But
they're just saying black bears see the movement, and they might want to eat.
So we sort of put up a little disclaimer and said,
don't bother the
black
bears.
Be careful about it.
Yeah. I don't want to get you by
a black
bear. I think
the brown bears are
more important. Is it brown bears?
Yeah. Those are the grizzlies.
I'm going to say anything that ends in bear.
Yeah, don't know.
I don't want to get eaten by it.
You don't want to be surprised as you come around a corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I did run into a rattlesnake on a run in Austin a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I was actually biking on a bike path, but I was scouting out for one of our routes and saw something. Didn't exactly know what it swerved around it, but it literally lunged at the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the F was that?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And it was a rattlesnake.
And I sort of, then I 10 feet ahead, I stopped the bike and, so I could, of course, get a picture, right?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
But the thing was, the rattles were going and it was in attack mode or defense mode or whatever you would call it.
That goes in the guide? Does that go in the list?
Yeah.
Does it say,
avoid this route?
Rattlesnake.
Yeah. Well, no, it was more in the list of, the things we do to provide good routes for you in Texas.
Now,
the lengths we go to.
Austin must be a good city to run in.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Austin's actually an interesting city. I mean, it's growing, it's sprawly, but there's a very, very nice path. Right along, they call it. It's weird. It's along a river, but it's called Lake Austin. I haven't figured out why.
Yeah.
But it's very, very nice. And then there's some nice bike paths and that sort of thing.
And I've run in El Paso, and that was very nice. Hot, but very nice.
Yeah. And San Antonio's nice. Houston's got some good spots, but it's like sort of like Dallas. Like the sprawl is just unbelievable.
Right.
So it's very. It's one of those cities where your running experience is hugely dependent on where you're staying and where you just want to be in a
where do you
an
start
area where where there's a good spot. But there are some good spots in Houston.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was in San Antonio, and there's that sort of river run, and then they've expanded it, so now you can go way far out.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
How's New Orleans?
New Orleans is mixed. New Orleans has got a few nice sections, some beautiful old city parks, and there's some beautiful runs along sort of what's called the Garden District and near Tulane that are very, very nice. You can also get into some parts of New Orleans that are just almost unrunnable, not pedestrian friendly and that sort of thing. So, the other cities that one of the things that makes New Orleans a bit challenging, like some other cities in the world, is weather. The summers are brutally hot there.
Yeah.
So there are certain cities will say you really need to go early or late or make sure you hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
because it's brutal. It's
tough, yeah.
Crazy there in the summer.
Now, I'm obsessed with branding and marketing, and we've done this thing for 2.5 years where we're trying to get our name out there. What have you learned from doing physical printed books, getting the word out there? How do you get people to know it exists?
Yeah. Well, books are completely different than websites. That's one thing I've certainly right. noticed. You know, the books were, I mean, in one sense easier in the sense of, in, you know, you had physical distribution, you knew sure. where they were, and we could, and help getting some, you know, press around that and so on, was good. For the website, I'd say the biggest learning for me has been search engine optimization, or SEO, which yeah. is just make sure that when somebody is searching for best places to run in Berlin or whatever, that you show up.
Yeah, okay. You're there.
And it that takes work because there's big companies that, you know, that,
buy all the space.
That like Map My Run and so on, mm-hmm. yeah. who have all these little tricks that they do to make sure they show up
yeah.
Near the top of the list, even though it's not really what they do. It's not curated routes. But fortunately, what we've been successful in showing up pretty well in SEO now. And that helps more, at least for us, that's helped more than social media marketing. Yeah. I mean, we've done some stuff on SEO, yeah. And we've been fortunate to have some nice coverage and, you know, some running magazines mm-hmm. and yep. some of the blogs and that sort of thing. But that's a continued work in progress. That's what could be a full-time job. I haven't 100% figured out the right. code on that.
Mm-hmm.
But any, you know, we're just trying to increase visibility
yeah.
for what we've done, because we really just want to be a resource for all the mm-hmm. people who love to run. And we get great, for people who do use the site, and we get great feedback.
That's great. You know,
lots of nice emails and that sort of thing.
That's I great. Would think when somebody finds it, they don't let it go. You know,
right.
They're a convert right
Tried
away.
Tried and true once you do it. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll get the word out to everybody.
Thank you.
Everyone go out right now. Where would you prefer people buy copies of the book from? Is it best?
Well, the book, you know, any you know, the Boston books, any major bookstore will have it. All, you know, Marathon Sports and, you know, many
Excellent.
Of the, you know, the running stores. And on the website, it's just, it's greatruns.com, and, you know, use it for the next help. You know, we hope people help use it when they're planning
yeah.
to go to right. the city in yeah. advance of getting there, even as in addition to when they're there. And I should also mention, even though we don't have a native app, it shows up very nicely and works quite well on a phone.
Okay. I have one last question. Mark, how was your run today?
My run today, well, I will confess that my run today was a bike ride this morning.
Okay.
I did do a nice
cardio.
Ride.
I bet it was 45 minutes long, though.
I bet it was 20 miles.
I did do a nice ride up out in sort of Concord, Carlisle mm-hmm. area before I came down here for the podcast.
You and everybody yeah. else, as I know, every weekend, the roads are full of bikers.
Yes.
Did you go from Brookline or did you drive out?
This morning I drove out with a friend. It was a Charles River Wheelman ride that mm-hmm. started in Lexington Center. So we started from there and did a 40-mile loop. It was beautiful.
How great is Brookline, though?
Great. Brookline's great.
I mean, you clearly have a book.
That was one of the ideas for the book, was that I got sort of... We moved to Brookline about 11 years ago, and I thought, and I'd lived in Wellesley for a while, which is beautiful and great mm-hmm. for running. Actually, I think it's the best Boston suburb for running, Wellesley. I think it's just got great.
Oh, a little
great
tip
great
there, Brian.
Wow. There's a little context.
You heard
there.
It here.
But I moved to Brookline. I said, okay, this is, it's sort of urban. All I know about Brookline is, you know, Beacon Street and
Coolidge Corner.
I said, how? But then I discovered, actually, Brookline is great for running. There's beautiful residential areas.
Beautiful.
You're a mile from the Emerald Necklace. You're close to the river. You're near, you know, get up to Newton and all of that. So there's actually really nice variety.
That's why Tom Brady lives there.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I've run down his street. It's
yeah.
up in the back there. It's actually near, not far from Olmsted's house.
Yes. So the street's back there off of Sargent Road.
Yeah.
We named the route in there. It's called Sargent Road Confidential.
Okay.
Because
no, because you got to know.
Because they have these signs saying you're not
yeah.
supposed
you
to go in there.
You cannot go there.
You know, they have signs saying, you know, it's private neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. I've done
been
it.
There a zillion
I've
times.
I've totally right. done it.
I haven't been shot at yet.
No,
nobody's
and it's
asked
also
me to
super
leave.
Safe because if a car comes down, you hear it from a mile away.
Yeah.
If more than anything, you're going to get hit by a groundskeeper.
Yeah.
Right? Someone
yeah.
tending to a
lawnmower.
Yeah.
But I've never seen Tom Brady out for a run.
Well, he probably just goes in loops around Gillette. Right?
I don't think he's much of a runner, folks.
You don't think
he
runs?
Seen him. No.
He stays in shape, though.
Yes.
That's What's he doing for cardio?
I don't know.
He's got a trainer.
STB12. I don't know.
Training program.
Can we go back to the fact that you don't have any home equipment? Is that true? You have no home cardio?
No. No home cardio.
Wow.
We're in Brookline, you're near things, so we belong to a gym. So we just pedal up to the gym, it's half a mile.
But still, that's very impressive, because there have been days, weather-wise or whatnot, where, like, why leave the house? Wow.
Yeah, there have been a few of those days where, okay, I really have to go to the, you know, where the weather's been terrible, I wanted to go, it hasn't been safe to go outside, but okay, yeah. I got to go and do, you know, an hour on the elliptical or something.
What's, okay, so bonus question.
I can't
question.
Keep a streak for 2 days. I'm just going to put it out there.
No, I can't without getting up.
So
I can't do it without ending up in PT. So, yeah. Like, we're good here.
I'm still a little bit floored with a 4-year, 45-minute-a-day streak. I mean, this is astounding.
All right, so last bonus question.
You should have come on the show just to talk about that. Forget the website and the books. I mean, that's amazing.
It is crazy. You should, write a book about that.
Yes. When is your health infomercial coming out? Because the 45-minute-a-day cardio...
It's coming soon.
Thing, that's your moneymaker, I think. That and some sort of juice cleanse. You're all set.
Bonus question. This is only for New England, Boston people, okay. But best route in bad weather. Go.
Best route in bad weather. Well, yes. How do you define as bad weather? I think a beautiful snowy day is gorgeous. Right?
No, so it's bad. Like, it's a late fall ice storm. It's on Mark's home staircase.
Early April. It's 42 degrees. It's right.
Yes,
it's my least favorite.
When you think it should be warm
and
sunny, but it's cold and raw.
Right. Yeah,
that's
the one. It's nasty out.
So I would say for that, you want something. I literally call it a bleak day run.
Love
and
it.
I actually choose something that's deliberately unattractive.
Yes.
Like, I'll run on some, like, some of, like, the grimy streets around, like, maybe, I don't want to name bad name neighborhood, you know, but, like, you know, down around the Pike, you know, in Alston, yep. Brighton, some of those not-so-attractive areas. I literally will call it, like, it's almost like evokes, like, those rocky runs, you know, from, you know, down those sort
right. of... You really have to want to run to do it.
Yeah. It was this is a funny little side story, but when we were... doing Philadelphia, the guide to Philadelphia, of course, we had to include the Rocky Run. Now, there's two things about the Rocky. Yeah, you can go up the steps, but the actual route that Rocky did...
It's like the meat district.
But it's not actually... You can't actually do the route. It's not a full route. But the other thing is when you play the video of the Rocky Run that he did in the movie, it reminds you what U.S. cities looked like in the 1970s.
Yeah, they're rough. If you go to the original 76 movie, it's a rough
looking... It is like trash all over the place.
It's like train tracks.
You wonder why people weren't jogging and running.
And he's in a
point.
Full like sweatsuit, and I mean like it's heavy and weird and...
Yeah, but you got to jump over garbage cans and
catch a chicken.
Cars are driving on the sidewalk.
Catch the chicken rock.
Yeah.
That's
so,
a sequel.
That was sort of a fun thing about
you could
that,
get graffitied, right?
Yeah,
you
could
running.
Get actually tagged, spray painted.
So, but I do definitely, you said bad weather, I do definitely have different runs for sort of different moods or different type of weather. Like I have certain favorite places to go when there's new snow, just because it's particularly beautiful, snow on the trees and that sort of thing. So, I'm sure most runners have that.
Well, as we're in the middle of summer, what's the hot run? What's the best hot weather run?
Well, on a really hot day, you want to try to find something that's shaded.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Emerald Necklace is quite
pretty
nicely
good.
Shaded.
Hard to beat it.
So that's where you maybe wouldn't want to do something like along a beach or along the waterfront, which is, you know, much more exposed.
What about breezy? Best breeze?
Best breeze. Depends which way it's blowing.
Which way it's going.
So I guess if you're doing a loop, you know, you get
you'll get it somewhere.
Okay, I'm going to give you this one.
Okay.
I was down in St. Augustine, Florida. Great running along the beach. It's like one of those kind of hard sand beaches when it's low tide. And I just decided to run, kicked my shoes off, which I never do, left my shoes behind because it was like gravel,
perfect.
Like packed gravel. It was awesome. Ran, crushing it. I'm like, I was only going to do three. I said, I can do five. This is awesome. I turned around and I found out why my run had been so great, because the 30-mile-an-hour wind,
coming
which
right
I didn't even
you.
Feel
oh,
on
no,
my
that
back
was
coming the other way right
up.
In my face, and I could barely move, and of course it had been some time and the temperature had gone up, and it was just an absolute slog. I mean, it was rough. So boy, it was a great out, terrible back.
The other thing that can happen on a beach run sometimes, and actually on the Cape, for example, is you can go out one way and it's beautiful, it's low tide, you go, and then all of a sudden, by the time you're coming back, the tide's moved in. It's like
you're running on clamshells, mussels, and rocks.
Yeah. Call for the Uber boat. you up.
So we actually on our beach runs, and we have lists of beaches that are particularly what we call good for running. You know that as you described, you know the perfect packed sand and that sort of thing. But we literally have tide tables. That people can link to on our beach routes. So we say, okay, you know, it's particularly nice around low tide and that sort of thing. There are some great beach runs in New England.
You're kind of a data guy, aren't you? You like data. I'm going to guess.
I like lists.
I can tell.
Lists are fun.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Mark Lowenstein, the books are Great Runs in Boston Burbs, Great Runs in Boston, Great Runs in Brookline and Vicinity, and the website is greatruns.com.
Yes, thank you so much. This is so much fun.
Enjoy your run tomorrow.
And every other day after that.
Yes, I will.
Oh, yeah, because you're not going to stop now. Good luck. Going. How long is this streak going to go?
I don't know. As long as I feel fine.
Keep going. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Woo!
Peter, you know, I was running up and down my staircase during that entire interview just to get my 45 minutes of cardio.
Let me tell you, he's a fit man. He makes us look like jokes.
He really is.
And if that works for him, which it clearly does, mm-hmm. we could all take a page from that Great Runs book that he publishes.
And the website?
GreatRuns.com. He was terrific, and he was very generous with his time today to tell us all about his that's quite an endeavor that he's put together in a relatively short period of time. I mean, it's been only a few years that he's put this sort of running guide empire together.
He's sort of, yeah, it's, I was going to say global empire all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Very, very fast.
Everybody check him out. That's greatruns.com.
Peter, you teased something prior to that interview, which is what most of us are going to be looking for to put in our ear holes for the rest of the summer. What on earth are you talking about?
Well, as you know, Brian, it is now the middle of the summer. Here we go. We're wrapping up July. And you're going away, I'm going away. And instead of doing summer rewinds, we decided maybe everybody needs a real siesta, a little break. And Howie's Run today is going to go on pause, really for the first time in over 2.5 years. And that's okay. We'll be back in September, all new shows.
Everyone needs to take a rest day.
We all need it. Talk to the guy who run-streaked himself into oblivion.
Correct.
Take a little break. Because if you take 22 days off, you can run the Boilermaker.
I heard all about that last week.
My point is, everyone deserves a little break, even from us. Except for those who don't want a break from us. Now, if you're someone who loves Brian and Peter, what they do, what those guys are up to.
Those guys.
Those two guys. We have another show that we've created, but it's not about running. It has nothing to do with running. So if you're here only for the running wisdom that you and I espouse.
Did you say wisdom?
Yeah. If you're here because our deep knowledge of running and our decades of experience are why you're here.
Well, okay.
All right.
That's a fraudulent experiment that we're perpetrating on the public.
So be it. But if that's why you're listening, yeah, this probably is not going to be the show for you. But if you like, wow, Brian and Peter, they have a thing. They talk quite a bit. But you know what? I like it. Then we have the show for you. And it's called Thought Platform. And we're going to allow you the chance to have them for free all at once. That's five episodes. Five episodes of a new show called Thought Platform coming at you now, actually. They're available now. I'm not going to make you wait. Are you going to make them wait?
Peter, one could binge all five episodes, but I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I tried to do it, and around the third episode, I needed to like go stretch my legs and walk around.
Peter and Brian,
it's a little too much.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a lot in general.
I'd say.
So I think take it. You know what? I'm not going to tell you how to listen to it. Listen to it at your own pace. If you want to take 5 weeks and listen to one a week, because that's exactly how long we'll be gone, so be it. If you need to listen to all of them because you're the kind of person who watched all of Stranger Things in a weekend, so be it. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but I do want to tell you how to hear it because this is important.
Peter, please lay it on me.
Okay. There are two ways, and only two ways, for you to listen to the brand new podcast series, Thought Platform, with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. You can go to the How Is Your Run Today website, that's hwrt.com, and you'll find it. There's a dedicated page for all five episodes. The other way is to go to the Radio Public app. Download the Radio Public app. It's a player. You can put it on any mobile device, any computer. Radio Public. Just go to radiopublic.com, download the app, and then do a search for Thought Platform. Boom, we're there.
Nice. Well, Peter, I think I'm going to do that. Oh, wait. I already heard these shows.
Yeah, but you should listen to them again.
I should, because I can't remember what we said.
They're fun. They're insightful. They're interesting. They pass the time.
I agree with you. You have a long car ride ahead of you on a summer day.
that's what, if you, what, you're going for a stroll? This is for you. You're on a plane because you're going to the other side of the country? This is for you.
Thought platform.
You're going to listen to it. Hey.
Hey.
This has been episode 140 of How Is Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnygold is our artist in residence.
Special thanks to Mark Lowenstein and the Great Run series and website.
GreatRuns.com.
Come and join us on Saturdays, even if we're on vacation. Find us.
We'll still be doing that.
On all the social media. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for the Sat Stat Chat. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and please include a sweet, sweet, sweet summer photo.
Please consider going to our website, howisyourruntoday.com, hwyrt.com, and go to our page for Thought Platform, and please listen to all five episodes. You can also get us on the Radio Public podcasting app. Brian.
Peter.
Are you going to have a good rest of the summer, and are you going to run?
Yes and yes, my friend. Have a great vacation.
Well, it's going to be a little sad, because I'm not going to see you. But I have a feeling I'm going to get plenty of you up there on the Thought Platform.
See you there.
I just want to know if it works.
I do too.
Do you think it's a little too self-righteous-y?